So, professor Alex van der Heever, verstaan jy dit ook, dat dit hoofsaaklik primêre gesondheidsorg is? Is daar al 'n lys van dienste wat in die nasionale gesondheidsversekeringsplan gedek gaan word?
Well, the proposals for what they're supposedly going to fund involves services that are quite specific in some areas, like cataract surgery and hip and knee replacements. These things are actually already provided. They're provided across the board in the state and the private sector. The modality by which they're supposedly going to make this available is via a national fund. The other services like school health are not something that you typically fund from a national structure because they're very localized. And they're services that South Africa used to quite easily provide before in the past. It's unclear why they were ever stopped. It doesn't require a national health insurance fund to run them. They should be being run by a combination of the provinces and the basic health system, the basic education system. The mixture of things that they're supposedly therefore going to fund isn't the same as the kind of coverage that they're potentially undermining in the medical scheme system, which is extremely dangerous. So the medical scheme system provides general coverage across the board for principally aimed at catastrophic care. In other words, making sure that things like cancer are covered, emergencies are covered, as well as people who have chronic conditions, and therefore that's very expensive. So the private health system does provide coverage, and the state is nowhere close to being able to cater for that kind of general coverage from that population. So the proposal of what's going to be supposedly funded versus the coverage that could be put at risk requires a response, a coherent response, because it appears completely irrational. So so you cannot undermine a system of coverage until you've created the alternative coverage and it is clearly better and capable of actually absorbing the population. No such confidence is generated in the way that the proposals are currently framed. They're actually proposing to undermine the coverage before they've actually provided anything. And they're aiming to provide it in a manner that doesn't create confidence that it is actually going to be delivered. The idea that some hypothetical national fund that is created is somehow going to magically deliver services that the state is actually already providing and provide it better is purely a paper assumption. It's not based on anything specific to the proposals.
Hulle stel voor dat alle mediese fondse binne 'n sekere tyd moet daar net een mediese skema wees met een opsie in die privaat sektor en dan ook net die voordele gee wat nie in die staat beskikbaar is nie. Dink jy dit kan realiseer? Wat is jou mening daaroor?
I think that those are to be perfectly honest, they're just stupid. The private environment, what you really want to deal with in the private environment is failures of pooling at a societal level. Sorry, and that's kind of jargonish. One of the difficulties that you have is that everybody's in a separate risk pool, and therefore that can have impacts on the ability of the funds to sustain coverage, certainly where schemes are competing. So you've got a very simplistic solution. Oh, well, let's just consolidate them all and create one. But if you create one, you create a lot of problems with how services are managed. They become, you face the problems that we currently face in the provincial departments, is that you have a monopoly. And the moment you have anybody operating as a monopoly where people have no choice, quality drops. There's no way to hold, there's no emphasis in the National Health Insurance proposals on how society can hold any government entity or any entity that's created that's turned into a monopoly to account for performance. So right now, think, how do you hold a provincial department to account for performance? How do you make them make sure that a hospital runs properly, that the nurses pitch up for work, that the doctors aren't moonlighting in the private sector, in the state system, which they are doing systematically at this point in time? How do you make sure that that happens? How do you make sure that the operation you've scheduled actually happens, that they don't, that there isn't a failure of service provision while somebody's giving you an operation? We've got huge medico-legal cases against the state for those for medical negligence. How do you ensure that that doesn't happen? Well, you look at the white paper and you can't see it. There's no accountability framework that's actually been designed that protects the public from a failure of these systems. So the issue is that these are part of how you design systems. And in the case of the medical schemes, you've got a choice. You can move from one to the other. If you don't like the coverage, you can move from one provider to the other. At this point in time, it's not optimal, but it could certainly be quite easily improved. But to think that the best solution is to actually give you no choice, and that's your best solution, that's nonsense.
Maar as dink jy dat mediese fondse in elk geval beter gereguleer moet word buiten die nasionale gesondheidsversekeringsvoorstelle?
Absolutely. The medical schemes environment needs a proper, strong regulatory framework. It is a social insurance arrangement. So it's not designed and it isn't structured purely for people to make profits and to be there. It is there to be a sustainable form of health coverage. And the state has an obligation to make sure that the medical scheme system is healthy. This minister has absolutely failed in the last 10 years in that obligation. He turns a blind eye to it because he states, it's not necessarily based on his actual actions, but he states that he doesn't like the private sector, and that's basically an unquestioned ideological position. It has nothing to do with the facts. So when you look around the world, many universal health coverage models are based and designed around regulating the private markets. And South Africa has a potentially healthy private market that can be regulated and provide very good and healthy coverage. And the state can also be very well managed and very well run. But the minister has not had the political courage, is in my view a political coward. He has not the political courage to take on head on the structural features of the provincial system that generate corruption, which is to insulate the delivery system from the political structures. He's not prepared to do that because that means he won't be a minister very long.
Maybe he will. But Professor van der Heuver, is daar dan nie kwaliteitsbestuur en akkreditasie van hospitale wat dan nou voorgestel word nie? Sal daar nie kwaliteitsbeheer wees nie?
Well, if you look at the Office of Health Standards Compliance that has been set up, the Minister of Health appoints everybody into that structure. I have absolutely no confidence in a regulator where one politician has appointed everybody. And it creates, let's look at every parastatal that we see at this point in time. We see that, for instance, we can't trust SARS at the moment. Can we trust SARS to make sure that the Guptas are actually paying their taxes or that the president is paying his taxes? Can we be sure that that state institution has an accountability structure that makes absolutely sure that they do their job properly and fairly without treating certain people differently? Now, when you've got a quality assurance regulator, can we be sure that if politically connected people are performing badly, that the quality assurance regulator is actually going to do something? We have no confidence in that with that governance model. That governance model is designed to allow for political discretion in the way in which rules are applied. And that's why I have no confidence in any of the proposals, because none of them address that kind of sort of accountability arrangement. Just saying that you're going to have quality of care measures and a quality assurance authority doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Een van die verslae sê ook dat, soos van die voorstelle daar staan, dat die regering die kwaliteitsbeheer liggaam miskien een keer in 25 jaar by 'n hospitaal sal uitkom.
Sorry, just say that again.
Van die verslae sê dat die kwaliteitsbestuur beheerliggaam sal miskien net een keer in 25 jaar by 'n hospitaal uitkom om te kyk dat hulle alles reg doen.
So a proper system of quality accountability requires that there is routine reporting on a whole range of on measures which deal with not only processes and inputs, but also deal with the actual outcomes. And that reporting system, which is, it requires that there is a uniform set of data that is produced around the patient at all facilities. So you have the diagnostics, you've got the episodes, you've got the actual outcomes of patients. And based on that, and adjusting for a number of features in the system, you would be able to then say, this hospital is essentially has a 20% higher case-weighted mortality ratio than that one. When you get to that level, you're actually starting to have a fundamental understanding of the differences in performance and quality between one facility and the other. The current methodology is to send in an inspector every now and then and to have some measures which really do not translate into performance that they measure, but they're the easiest measures that you can create. And there is a lot of self-assessment involved. It's not a proper accountability mechanism. So the current quality assurance framework is token at